Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
WGN Online. Viv, what did you just pick out for us for our back-end music? This is G and John, by the way, in for Bill and Wendy till 1 here on the stream. What? I saw you make a face. What is this? Well, give us the background. Give us the story.
This is the intro to our stream.
Oh, this is it. Oh, okay.
This is it.
Oh.
So let's hear it. It sounds great, doesn't it?
Yeah. See, Bob came in here, the engineer, and said, you've heard the intro music before, and I think I just said yes reflectively, or reflexively.
I don't think we really listened to it.
No.
I thought it was another one.
I'm sure there's others.
There's others, I'm sure, too.
I thought you picked the song, and then you were like, what the heck did I just pick?
There's something a little bit operatic about it.
That's one word. It's operatic meets conga line, I feel
like
a little bit.
So South America, Latin America.
Yeah, yeah. Mm.
Oh.
There we go.
Man, that timpani is rocking. Hey, everyone. Thanks for joining us here on the stream as Elise goes on the business lunch on the Megawatt. We didn't get a chance to talk about... We were like, oh, there's two good talkers today.
And then we didn't get to them.
Which one
do you want to do first?
Probably the World Cup.
All right.
By the way, Viv, and you would probably know more than me, 312-235-2525 if people want to call on in. Or you can text us still at the normal phone line, 312-981-7200. So save those numbers into your telephone, folks.
Yes. I know that this has been in the news cycle, and everyone's been probably talking about it.
The World Cup morning.
Yeah, it was exciting. Yeah, but we want to talk about it a little bit, too. And Wendy said we should.
Yes.
We got permission from the boss. And also, we want to hear what you think, so be sure to call in and text in, too.
Yeah, 312-235-2525 for the phone line, 312-981-7200 for the text line. Okay, so it captivated the world.
Mm-hmm.
I have got to admit, I didn't watch. I didn't watch a single minute, but it has nothing to do with a distaste of soccer. I enjoy soccer.
Probably because you're exhausted because you have about 34 jobs.
Yeah, I was busy this weekend. I made kind of an appointment to watch. I guess I didn't realize how early it was. I thought it was like at 2 or 3 in the afternoon, and then I got the notification on my phone. Because I built a grill yesterday, so...
Oh, I did see that on your Instagram.
Right.
I saw that, too. That was awesome.
It was a lot of parts.
Yeah. I mean, you didn't build it from the ground. You assembled it.
I was going to say, I just... What a man of me.
I mean,
to
did
take
you get this girl?
Segment, to talk, to take the segment about these women
know,
achieving great things,
it.
And I'm like, I built a grill.
I know. As long as you don't start mansplaining,
what
we're okay.
A man of a thing to do.
Did you order this grill from IKEA?
No, we went to Home Depot.
Okay, no, I'm teasing.
Okay.
Because you know how like you buy something
yes.
from IKEA, Viv? You know. Oh. And then like you're like, oh, great, I got this for such a great deal, and it's so beautiful. And
right.
then like, you know, 30
great.
Hours later,
yes.
it looks nothing like the photo.
No. And my parents didn't trust me, so they bought me this grill for my birthday. And my dad's like, have them assemble it there. But then I was worried it wasn't going to fit in my car, and then I ordered it, and they said they couldn't even have it until Tuesday or Wednesday this week. And I'm like, I had this whole plan to cook filet mignon for Enrique.
Okay.
So anyways, we put
romantic.
It together. So I missed the game.
Listen, I don't know. I was going to forgive you because I thought maybe you were just overly exhausted.
Nope.
But now I don't know that
right.
I can forgive you for
don't
building.
Forgive me.
I'm just kidding.
So tell us all about it.
Well, it was amazing.
Did you watch the game start
I watched
to finish?
The entire game. And think about the people on the West Coast, how early they had to get up.
Mm-hmm.
It was like watching the Olympics for me. I felt so proud to be an American. I felt so proud of these women who were continuing to break more barriers.
Did you like get up and cheer for the two goals and
I
everything? The whole
did.
Thing.
Yeah. I did, and then I cried. Oh, yeah. It was emotional. It was like the Olympics. I love the Olympics.
Yeah, no, I do too. I love any time that you can get the country together on something because there's
mm-hmm.
fewer and fewer things that we do that for. That just didn't quite work out with my grill schedule,
mm-hmm.
but. It's obviously like, I mean, the discussion of pay equity
right.
has certainly been one that's gone on for a couple weeks.
Yes, but here's the deal, just
okay.
to give you specifics.
Yeah.
The U.S. women's national team will earn about $250,000 each for winning the World Cup.
That's a lot.
While the U.S. men's national team would earn about $1.1 million.
A person. If they won.
If they were to win their World Cup. The prize money for the 2019 Women's World Cup was $30 million versus the $400 million for the 2018 Men's World Cup.
So here's my question.
So we're talking about a lot of money, but the disparity is still huge.
And are we talking about FIFA money here? So coming from the Federal International Football Alliance? I don't even know if I got any of those right.
I think they
or are we
the-
talking about the U? No, because the men, the women's and men's soccer, like U.S. soccer, pays the men and the women, and they pay them a wide disparity. The men make way more than the women, even though the women play in a lot more games because they do better, they're more successful, and they travel more because they're more successful. So, but I think you're talking about FIFA pay, right?
Yes, because the FIFA president said that they are going to discuss the possibility of expanding the field and doubling the prize money for the Women's World Cup. And then also there's all these different, the way it's broken down, mm-hmm. you get bonuses for making the World Cup roster, and then for a certain amount of money for each qualification game, et cetera.
Right.
By the way, I am no expert on this.
So, but either way, whether it's the U.S. soccer or FIFA, whoever's paying them is paying them clearly not even close to where they should be. When we're talking about a fourth, $250,000 versus $1.1, less than a quarter of the amount of money to win.
Right.
And the thing about the U.S. women's team, and then we just had a texter from the 630, John and G, with the equal pay argument. Why stop at equal pay? Give these women more. From now on, it's just soccer and men's soccer. It's just too bad.
If only, who is this person? I love this person, whoever texted in.
It's from the 630. Yeah.
630.
Probably
I love
my mom,
the 630.
But, because she spelled both of our names correctly, which is pretty rare.
I love your mom,
no,
by the way.
No, it's not my mom. But I agree. And I think that, you know, and there's a lot of arguments that people have made about the NBA versus the WNBA. So, right. Should they make the same amount of money?
I think so. I mean, truthfully, I'm a person that believes even with college sports that college players, and that's exclusive of gender. Like, I'm not even talking about women there. I just think any time that there is this huge disparity between what the organizing...
Yeah, the NCAA brings in versus the players, yeah.
Yes, and you're capitalizing that much. Mm-hmm. I mean, hopefully a lot of that money goes back to the school, but a lot of times it doesn't.
It doesn't go back to the students, ever.
Right, so, you know.
Okay, so here's my thing, and this is what... I want to have a legitimate discussion without being judged, because you know I'm woke as can be. Right?
Are you woke if you use the word woke?
No, probably not. I'm less woke. I'm still, the snooze is on, but I'm waking.
Well, you are a...
Okay, so here's the thing. I think the women should make more or make the same as men for U.S. soccer, because they've proven that they are more successful on the field, which is one thing. Number two, their sales of their jerseys are more than the men. And number three, they have drawn better internationally. So, I guess what I'm saying is not only do they have the equality thing, which everyone should be paid equally and they do the same job argument behind them, but now they have the economics argument too. Whereas before you could say, well, the men bring in more money for the sport. No, the women bring in more money. So now they should get the more. But like the WNBA versus NBA thing, I mean, the NBA brings in way more money in revenue than the WNBA. So that's what I'm wondering is have the women earned that right because they bring in more economically, or should they have that right by default?
I think ideally in the perfect world, it should be by default, I think. But truthfully, if we want to think about reality and how much money corporations and organizations are bringing in, make it a percentage. If it can't be an actual number, let's make it a fair percentage. Let's say that, you know, you're talking about
a percentage of revenue or something, whatever it is.
Exactly.
Okay. I see what you're saying.
So then there's equality there, at least.
It's tied to the success of the program so that they can't be...
Exactly. So you're saying, so right now, don't you feel like U.S. women's soccer is better than...
Yes.
Like, in the forefront of everyone's minds, this is what everyone's talking about. Whereas with the NBA versus the WNBA, you're saying that there's a big gap.
There's still a giant gap.
Right. So then make it a percentage.
Okay.
Make it, you know, the men are earning a certain percentage of what the NBA is bringing in. The women should also have that equal percentage, that percentage
of the
rate.
Revenue.
Yeah, should
right.
be.
And that's a lot of times how collective bargaining agreements work, in that they divvy up how much revenue is coming in. They try and determine what percentage goes to owners, what percentage goes to players. And I don't know how the WNBA does it or if it's similar, but...
But, you know, this whole discussion, then it just brings it back to, you know, then I start thinking about myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I start thinking about how many times I haven't been paid as much much as the men around me.
Right. And as a man, it's really easy to ignore that. And I don't mean that as a joking way, because right. like you and I were talking, and Mary, our boss, overheard us saying, and I was like, do people even care about this disparity thing? And she said, you better believe they do.
Women do.
And I think men are like, oh, yeah, we've had that talk now it's over.
Well, it's understandable because, you know what, if it doesn't affect your world, mm-hmm. like with everything, it's easy to, if it's, you know, out of sight, it's out of mind. And that's a very human condition, and that's not something to be faulted for. Mm-hmm. That is, everyone's got a lot to do. Everyone's got to focus on what they have going on. So it's a natural thing to have happen.
But this is something you've experienced personally.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, we're not even going to go into people of color and the discrepancies right. there. So I'm not even touching on that. But mm-hmm. I just want to acknowledge it in case anyone's listening and right. they think that we're not going there. But yeah, for me, definitely. And I used to think this situation, and Viv, you tell me if you think you've heard this before. A lot of women get told, oh, it's because you guys don't negotiate. And you don't know how to negotiate.
I was just going to ask that.
And you don't ask for the raises. And it really has to do with the condition of how women communicate.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And you hear that all the time. And so then it turns it on its head back to us. Like, it's our fault that we're in this condition. Well, obviously, historically, there's been a motherhood penalty. Mm-hmm. Women are the ones that, but have to, you know, take care of the home. And this has been extended through history. Mm-hmm. But then, truth be told, there are more college educated women now. We outnumber men, college educated men, since 2007.
Mm-hmm.
So I love that the study came out, where the idea that women need to ask for salary raises, it's a false
that
nomer.
They don't do it as
yeah.
well as men.
Actually,
okay.
women ask for raises as much as men do, but they're less likely to be given those raises. And that was from a Harvard Business Review.
Right. And I think it's really easy for men to say, well, just stand up for yourself then and do it.
It's because you're mansplaining to us.
Yeah, you just do it.
Well, you're just not a good
well,
negotiator.
Then don't take that job.
Yeah.
What a great accent.
Just walk
right.
away.
That's
just
my
walk away, you know?
Man accent.
Walk away.
But you're right. But if you have that boss, and well, there's more college-educated women than there are men in the workforce,
right.
which I 100% believe. I still imagine that at the top brass of more institutes or more large bodies, corporations,
yeah.
of the management structure, it's more men than women.
Yes, only 1 in 5 women in the workforce are in a leadership role.
And if men are making the financial decisions, then yeah, you can't just have, can't, it would be wonderful if you collectively as a gender, you know, go on strike until you got what you wanted, but that's just not the reality of the situation.
No, so men get a raise 20% of the time when they ask, and women get a raise 10% of the time.
Wow.
This is from this Harvard Business Review that I'm mm-hmm. sourcing. But the crazy thing is women are told that we're just bad at negotiating, but that is so not the truth, because you talk to any mother listening to us right now and think about all the negotiating she has to do.
To get their kid to go to bed.
Yes, to get their kid to do anything.
Yeah.
I mean, women, especially mothers, working moms, are the best at negotiating.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah, and I think it's the leadership role thing. Because I think that if you're a man in a leadership role position, there is something to be said for if the woman's asking. It's not that they didn't negotiate better than their male counterparts or worse. It's just that you know that you have that power. You
right.
know? And I think that there's some kinship, companionship, it's archaic and probably goes back to caveman instincts that we need to get out of our head, that, you know, you relate to someone of the same gender as you. So if you're the boss and you've got a man applying and asking for a raise, I don't know if it's just that there's a closeness there that you shouldn't feel more towards. I'm not saying that's the case or not. I'm just saying that could be.
Well, I think that's what a lot of people deem the boys club, right? Because you guys can, I'm not talking about you, John Hansen, because mm-hmm. we know that you are a very enlightened male. But, you know,
woke.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Awoken.
But,
wow. But, what an eye roll.
I don't think you should use that term, John Hansen.
She didn't even know I was looking, but it was the biggest
roll. Thank you, Viv. High five through the glass.
Wow.
No, you should not use that term about yourself.
Really?
Yeah.
Woke.
No.
No, you mean like no one should or I shouldn't?
I just think people in general
okay,
should.
Okay, fine.
Yeah, I think, you know.
773 says it's a misleading statistic. It's not telling us percentage of managers that are black. Well, we're not talking about the differences
oh, God,
of color.
No,
that's
yeah.
got to be even.
I acknowledge that.
Yes.
I said that that's even like, oh, talk
yes.
about plummeting.
Yes.
Wait till we talk about people of color and
right.
then talk about the genders of color.
Right. So with this World Cup win, I find this fascinating because the women won 4 years ago, right?
Yeah.
And I'm sure that these discussions were there and they went nowhere. But I feel like the world, especially our relationships between men and women and the respect that's given across gender lines, has turned on its head in 4 years. I mean, 4 years ago, it's 2015. We're still before Hillary Clinton has the nomination. We're still before President Trump gets elected. Yeah. We're still before the Me Too movement. We're before Harvey Weinstein. We're before all of that.
It's technically back to back, but it only happens once every 4 years.
Yes.
Right. So there we go.
So I'm just saying that, like, I think that the world changed between the two World Cups, mm-hmm. and that has offered a whole new prism of viewing this, and the women capitalized by being so damn good.
Well, you know what? I was talking to a friend of mine who's a guy, and he was like, he's like, you know, I don't like that Megan Rapinoe.
Right.
Yeah. I said her name right,
yep,
didn't I?
Okay. I think so.
And I go, well, why? Why? Because, you know, she's getting a lot of flack, mm-hmm. in the media circuit for being arrogant. You know, this team that was some of the
noise. Does he like Javi Baez?
Well, that's what I said. So I said, you know, I said, I don't think you would be saying that about a guy.
And
he goes, no, gee, I would be. Listen, I just don't like anybody that's that arrogant. But I was like, it's so prevalent that almost all the sports guys are pretty, mm-hmm. like, arrogant. It's like, you mostly hear about the sports guys in sports that are really humble. That's when you, like,
right,
you know what I mean? Because it's usually
people
not
like
the
to
norm
latch onto
because
them.
It's
yes.
about confidence,
yes.
and it's about the more confidence I exude, the more machismo, you
right.
know, whatever.
No, I absolutely think
macho
that,
man.
Yeah, I absolutely think that they should be as arrogant and cocky as they want.
Yeah.
First of all, they backed it up. Second of all, it's what we love about sports. Their celebrations are hilarious. The sipping of the tea is great when they were celebrating at the English, and even them standing up for themselves, saying, "We're not going. Some of us aren't going to the White House." Good for them. Athletes do that all the time across genders, across racial barriers, and it doesn't matter.
Yeah,
who cares?
I just mean, and then I had this conversation with him. I was like, look, like, even if you don't like the fact or you feel like she's a little arrogant, can't you still like her because of the fact that she's, like,
right.
bringing home the trophy?
Right.
Like, when did, like, I just, this is what's happened with America. We've gotten to this place where it's like, oh, I don't like this one little thing about this person,
mm-hmm.
or what I perceive to be this, or one little thing they said, or
right.
one little thing they did. And it's like, okay, I dislike them completely, and that's our problem.
Right.
Everyone just too sensitive.
Yeah.
Just too
well,
sensitive.
Well, that leads into the next one.
Well, it really does. Are we too sensitive or not? And Viv, I know you were talking to me in my ear. We can just talk live in air. Are we taking a break before the news?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, we're going to take a quick commercial break, then the news with Ryan Burrow coming up on the stream here on WGNradio.com. 12:32 on this Monday afternoon. You're listening to G and John streaming everywhere across the world. Other planets, too, I imagine.
Worldwide.
But it is time for the news, and with our news headlines, here's Ryan Burrow. All right, thank you very much, Ryan. Back here on the stream with G Suki. I got to ask you, mm-hmm. we were talking about names.
Mm-hmm.
How hard of a Y am I supposed to give your last name? Because
okay.
it's not a full Yi.
Right. It's not like Y-E-E.
Yeah.
It's like Y-I.
Yeah.
I. You know what? And then there's a lot of Korean Americans that translated it into Lee, L-E-E.
Okay.
So I don't know.
You tell me. Because I think
mom says E.
That's what I always say,
like,
too.
E. But
every time I do it, I look at you as if I'm doing something wrong.
But honestly, like, I don't know. I'm the worst Korean American there is. I can barely.
No, there's worse. Let's find him. 312-235-2525. Are you a worse Korean American
yes.
than Jisuki?
Yes, because I'm pretty bad.
No.
And then I just mean, like, I don't speak Korean very well, and I don't do all those things.
Do you speak it at all?
Very, very little.
Was it spoken in your household growing up?
Well, here's the problem. I didn't have grandparents, and usually you speak with your grandparents.
Mm-hmm.
And I came here, I was, you know, 4.5 years old, almost 5. So I went straight to kindergarten. I picked up English so fast that my parents always wanted me to speak English.
That makes sense, right.
To help them. But then they were, so I understand it. They spoke Korean to me, but mm-hmm. sorry, this is a tangent.
No, I'm curious.
I'm sorry,
people
want to
know.
Sorry.
People want to know.
Sorry. They're probably sick of hearing
no,
about this already.
No, people love you.
No, I want to know.
Right? I'm like so engaged in this story.
No, thanks,
way more
Viv.
Than anything else you're
Thank
talking
you,
about.
Thank you, Viv. Oh, you don't want to hear about equality in
no,
the wage
no.
gap for women, John?
Tell me how much English you speak.
Oh, my gosh. You misogynistic. Just kidding. You're nothing like that.
Hashtag John Woke.
Oh, no, please.
Woke AF.
Viv and I are dying. Cannot. Thank you, Viv.
All right. Hey, so the Starbucks story isn't going to ruffle any feathers.
Oh, geez.
Oh, God. Okay, so 6 police officers. I'm sure you've heard about this. So I'm just going to recap in case you haven't. Starbucks apologizing after one of their baristas asked 6 police officers in Arizona to leave or move out of a customer's line of sight. The customer had said that they were uncomfortable in the situation with the police officers. there. We don't really have much about what happened in the store, the Starbucks. I don't know if these police officers were intimidating or if they were, I don't know, holding their nightstick. I don't know, like, what they could have done or whether they were just standing there. But this is a lot to unpack because the Tempe police officers out in Arizona, they left the store. But then the police department itself kind of started playing victim pretty heavy about how they were ashamed of what Starbucks had done and the decisions that they had made. Starbucks then apologized. And the person I honestly feel the worst for in this entire situation is the barista. Because Starbucks has had issues in the past. Obviously, last year, the police have been called. Was that Philadelphia?
Did you explain the story, just in case someone didn't?
I just did a little bit.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Right.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Well...
Were you not just listening to the last 45 seconds?
No, I was, but I didn't. You explained it more in depth earlier.
So,
because you have to explain that the barista thought.
The barista was asked, knew one of the police officers,
right,
and said, "Hey, you could either leave."
Not that they were friends, but
no,
they were regular.
Regular, and they said, "Could you either move out of this person's line of sight, or could you leave the store?" And they decided to leave the store. In Philadelphia, I can't remember exactly where this was, but what led to Starbucks closing for a day, remember that whole thing?
Yes.
Because of police officers were called on one of the patrons, and then they had a whole, like, Starbucks sensitivity training, which I'm all for. Like, I think every employee and every human could use a little sensitivity training now and again.
Yes, it was at a Philadelphia Starbucks.
Okay, so it was at Philly. So, okay, here's my thing. That barista who's gone through, I imagine that barista was employed at the time, if she knows some of the regulars. So she's gone through this sensitivity training. Someone asks her and says, "These police officers are making me uncomfortable." Police officers were at the heart of what happened in Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. What's this barista supposed to do? I feel a lot of people have been calling this barista out. I'm like, who knows? Maybe that was part of the training. Like, hey, if someone makes it uncomfortable, ask them to leave. Or I don't know, but I can imagine a barista just being like, I'm damned if I do and I'm damned if I don't.
Well, also, we weren't there, and this always happens where I'm not saying at all that what the barista did was right, but I just mean, like, how was it said? Like, mm-hmm. Was it like if I saw you, if I knew you, and I was like, oh, John, you know what? This lady is really uncomfortable, or this person's really uncomfortable. I really don't know what to do. Was it like that, or was it like, hey, John, this lady's uncomfortable. I think you really need to go.
Right. Well,
like,
yes. How was that translated?
You know how, like, things
right.
over text, you don't understand
you don't
the tone? So we weren't there, so we don't know exactly. Did it start off as a conversation because they knew each other and mm-hmm. he was a regular? And she's like, oh my goodness, like, she felt comfortable talking?
Right.
He or she felt comfortable
Who
talking?
Knows?
To the police officer? I don't know.
I don't know either, and I just feel like it's... Then everyone came to rush to the defense of these police officers, which at the end of the day, if nothing really nefarious was happening and they were just standing in line, I mean, they should be able to get their coffee. Well, at the same time, I recognize that there are certain communities that have been over-policed.
And absolutely.
I'm not uncomfortable with police officers, I'm not going to say that I don't get why other people are.
No, and there are many people, you know, for... Most of us, including you and myself, if we were to see a police officer, we would feel safe and comfortable. Mm-hmm. But for a lot of disenfranchised in the community who have been over-policed, they can feel that their life is
in
imminent danger.
100%.
For example, when certain parts of our population get pulled over by police, it could potentially be the most dangerous,
yes,
10
part of their lives.
Of their
yes,
lives.
Yes.
So,
and having said, I mean, that's why I'm like, for all those people out there that are like, I don't get it.
Yeah.
How could you ever just take a moment?
Yeah, it's not your truth. It's not my truth, but it is some people's truth.
Yes.
And who are we to say that that is not their truth?
True.
And truthfully, from what has happened in our history, it is truth.
Yes. Having said that,
right.
And maybe this person has particular run-ins with police. Then I'm like, well, I don't know what the solution is here. Because I don't know where, at what point, you just don't leave you're uncomfortable.
I don't think anyone should be asked to leave, whether it was the two African-American gentlemen in Philadelphia who hadn't ordered anything mm-hmm. or they didn't feel it had ordered anything. I don't know the particulars.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember them now. But I don't think anyone should be asked to leave unless...
They're doing something that would...
Illegal
yes.
or harmful or threatening
right.
to someone.
Right. Not
imminent you know,
right.
harm.
Where their presence isn't the only thing that is causing
right.
distress. So that's where, if I'm the barista, I don't know what to do because we are...
Yeah. And we don't know whether was it a female or a male.
Know.
We don't know.
I don't know. But either way...
Would that mean it's a barista?
We talk
barista?
About...
I'm just trying to lighten...
But no, we talk about sensitivity training, and then it's like, God, are we that... sensitive. Like, look, we have such stark differences politically, socioeconomically, mm-hmm. racially, gender, all that stuff. But there are public places where we have to coexist as long as no one is being harmful. Like, I've probably been in so many rooms that I don't even know, but there's probably LGBT haters. There's people that would ring me up if they could. You know what I mean? But you just coexist in that scenario. And I've been in rooms where I know I've been uncomfortable mm-hmm. around people I know have anti-gay views, but it's like, well, I'm at a public place. Mm-hmm. I'm in a place of business. I don't automatically walk in with the right to feel the most comfortable in the world. I mean, I guess it's that person's right to ask. Well,
maybe
I don't know.
You know, one of the things a Starbucks employee maybe could have done, and who knows how big the Starbucks was then offer a different location or
something
to the customer that was feeling uncomfortable.
I was talking to Heidi Stevens on the Jam this morning, mm-hmm. and she put it really well. She's a columnist at the Chicago Tribune, for those of you who don't know. And
she's brilliant.
Yeah, she's brilliant. And I never thought about this, but if you were to draw up this scenario and how you wish it would have played out, she had the perfect answer. And this is putting a little onus on the police officers who don't necessarily deserve it. But in that situation, the police are the people of power. They're wearing the uniform.
Absolutely.
It was before they were on duty, but they obviously probably have sidearms or something. Anyways, they are in a position of authority.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't it have been wonderful if the police officers, instead of storming out, they might have respectfully left. I should have said that. They left because they were asked to.
Right.
And then having their police officer then, or their police department on Twitter, have a Starbucks cup being dumped out.
Would you take issue with the way they tweeted it out?
Like, why? I mean, there's a moment for us to. So why? I wish the police officers, and I don't know if I would have had the withdrawal to do this in the moment either, but had said, maybe we could talk to this individual and discuss something and make this person feel more comfortable.
Use it as a catalyst to maybe create a forum or a town hall or something.
Something where it's like,
is that what Heidi said? Sorry.
Yes, that's what Heidi said. And I thought that was so smart. Like,
well,
hey, because in Tempe, there had been a shooting of a young person of color. I think that the person was shot and killed by police. Mm-hmm. It has really caused some issues in Tempe. So there's some obvious tensions in the community, which a lot of communities experience now between police and their constituents. I wish that the officers could have said, well, can we talk to this person and maybe see if we can quell some of those fears, start up a genuine dialogue. Now, this is all my hippy-dippy head and Heidi Stevens' hippy-dippy head,
right,
where we're like, okay, yeah, you can do this in a coffee shop at 9 in the morning or whatever time this was.
And I also think it depends on how comfortable this customer was, whether mm-hmm. that would have actually been something that could have happened and how many. I mean,
it might have
been by the fact that she felt outnumbered, she felt outnumbered by how many officers were there. But truthfully, yes, any time that you have something that's an institutionalized entity
mm-hmm.
where there is a municipal or federal backing, and that is what police officers are.
Right.
You know, of course, the onus is always on the person of power. The same happens in a workplace environment. The onus is on the manager, not necessarily always the employee, in terms of the balance of power, because there is so much more power with the person that is in that position. But yeah, it's like, you know, it's often quoted in Spider-Man, but with great power comes great responsibility, and that's the case. And truth be told, you know, there's a lot of systemic issues here. I mean, beyond just this incident. This comes from, you know, a history of systemic issues of race and policing and how it's done.
So we didn't have that moment of learning in the Starbucks, but maybe we could have it as a country. But I feel like we're so politicized and we go to our camp so quickly that we can't have that. Because now why can't we have an honest discussion between people? And maybe more people are having it than I realize. All those people that are like, how can someone feel uncomfortable with their police? Maybe this is an avenue into that discussion. All right, you want to know how people can feel uncomfortable? Here's how they feel uncomfortable.
Well, and it also, and the onus is also on media, because they hear a soundbite and they hear police officers were kicked out of a Starbucks because someone was uncomfortable, and then that's all people go with. So I think it's really about being reactive, and that's it's like a powder keg here now with everybody. And you know, and it's the case. Like, you know, you were incredible that you caught yourself as you were talking about the story and you said they stormed out of there. And you're like, wait a minute. No,
yeah,
they didn't.
They didn't, right.
Right. And, but you're talking, you're filling time.
Yes.
You're on radio right now. You're talking, you're telling a compelling story, right? But I think in the process of telling something that's compelling, often in media, some truths are kind of not quite.
The lines are blurred.
Yeah.
Sensationalist takes front.
Right.
Yes.
And so I think, but then I think that's how our brains are geared now. And we're in this age of instant gratification and all of these issues aren't something that can be solved in sound bites or in instant gratification. They actually take study. They take learning about history. They take empathy.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that takes time. That takes time and effort. And it is a actual conscious, concerted effort, and that's what we all as American citizens should be putting forward.
Yeah, we have to decide as a country and as individuals to make a choice to decide that we don't have to win. Not everything is winning and losing. Not every argument is won or lost. Not every political scenario is won or lost. Most of the world lives in gray areas. And the more that we can find that there isn't, the rights and wrongs only come usually with body counts, and those days are few and far between. Most of the decisions we make in this discussion exist in gray areas.
And I tell you, I can be slightly uncomfortable with police for a totally different reason, because, I mean, I am not in a demographic that's over police, but I grew up in a somewhat violent environment where, I grew up very afraid of firearms.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't like holding firearms. I don't like seeing firearms. I don't even like the thought of a firearm being near me.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean that I'm coming out for anyone's
guns. Yes, exactly.
Right. No, I just mean I'm telling you about my personal experience that I at times grew up around a bit of violence, and it makes me very nervous to see guns.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes if I do see a ton of police with guns, and I can only imagine, you know how in Europe they have the big rifles.
Yes.
Like,
or sporting events, they've got them too. Yeah.
So that makes me extremely nervous. Mm-hmm. It's just a nerve-wracking situation for me because of my own personal history with it. So that's how I use that as an empathy catalyst, the springboard to then understand what other people in our world are going through,
an
especially in America.
Towards empathy.
Yeah, and I think that's what you've got to do. You've got to take something that really maybe doesn't make total logical sense for you, or it's based on your experiences, but then you use that as a springboard to kind of, hey, like if I can understand this, then maybe I can understand this about someone else's experience.
I like that. We all need to find our avenues of empathy to get to certain roads.
Right.
Oh, avenues, roads. I'm doing pretty well here. I agree. To find some common ground that we can at least have a real discussion on it. And at the end of the day, we might disagree. Like, that's the other thing. We might end up being like, you know what? We didn't get there. But we learned a little something. We walked a little bit in someone's shoes for 10 damn steps and could see it a little bit,
Yeah, I mean, it's just like you're not going to ever agree with everything somebody thinks about anything, really.
Let's take a quick commercial break. By the way, there is a worse Korean than you, and they texted
in. Oh, good.
Yeah.
Ooh, I need to be friends with this worse Korean.
Well,
it'll make me feel better.
Yeah. Well, that's a tease to the next segment coming up in just a bit here on G and John, in for Bill and Wendy on WGN Radio. WGN here on the radio. Just got a really sweet text from the 708. They appreciate it. We're maybe going to switch because it's not Bill and Wendy. And I don't blame them. I love Bill and Wendy. But they stuck with us here on the stream and they appreciate the good conversation.
Oh, thank you. We're very aware of what big shoes we have to fill.
Yes, but I wanted to mention the end of their text. I normally just don't read nice ones about us, although I'm happy to. There aren't too many of them. No, but FYI, when you listen on the app, you hear the swears, which wasn't us. But if you missed the caller from
yes.
Well, I can't believe I forgot her name. I said I never would.
I think Kathy.
Kathy.
I don't know her last initial, though.
Yeah, I think it was Kathy.
I told Viv, I was like, Viv, we got to write Kathy's name down back here.
So we appreciate that. Okay, G, I teed this up. You said you were the worst Korean American.
I can't believe there's
630. So someone from the western suburbs.
630. I love the western suburbs.
Yeah. Well, that's at least where the area code is.
Okay.
They could have moved. I have a 630, but I live in the city.
Oh, you do? Okay.
I'm a worse Korean. I can't name anybody from BTS. What's that?
Oh my God. It's it's a Korean, Viv. It's it's the taking the world by storm. It's like a Korean boy band.
Yeah, it's a boy band.
And they came to United Center, didn't they? And they like sold out for three nights.
Yes.
So I can't name anybody from BTS. And my younger sister knows more Korean from watching TV dramas. And this texter just texted in more. To up my, quote, bad Korean status, I always get a stare from older Koreans when I introduce myself. Almost all Korean names are two syllables, but my parents had to give me a five-syllable, quote, American name and no real Korean, in quotes, name.
I love this person. Hey, listen, if that was you from the 630, G here, thank you for writing in. And thank you for letting me know that I'm not alone. This is just so beautiful. Oh my God, this is so beautiful.
Radio magic. So two, there you go. Thank you, babe. Two syllables is usually the name, not just two words. Okay.
Yes, two characters.
Right, which are usually one syllable.
Right. So Ji-Suk. And then they do Yi. You usually say last name first. So it'd be like when you were talking to someone, they'd be like, Hanson John. Hanson John, come up here.
Really?
Yes.
So if you were in Korea, they'd say Yi Ji-Suk.
E.G. Suk. Yeah.
That rolls off the tongue, though, too. No, I mean that. E.G. Suk.
I'm choking over here. I'm literally choking.
It's a great TV radio name.
Yeah, I think it sounds great.
I love it. Are you okay over there?
Yeah, sorry. I'm just so delighted and the tears and I'm just choking from all of this.
How long does this thing go for, Viv, till 1?
1 o'clock.
Yes,
Viv, what is your middle name?
Yeah,
I want to know.
Viv. Your name is fascinating, too. Tell us about it.
Yeah.
So, okay, Paraskevi means Friday.
One more time?
Paraskevi.
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 Yeah. Paraskevi means Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And my middle name is Paulina.
Paraskevi.
So,
Paula.
Paula.
Paulina, not Paula.
Paula.
That's cute, too. I actually like that.
Paulina.
Paraskevi, Paula. I was going to say Paula now, too. Oh, my God.
You're Paula.
I'm Paula now, guys. Paraskevi, Paulina Lanou. That's like
and
my full name.
And what is the ethnic origin of that?
Of Paulina?
Of your name, the gorgeous name that you have.
It's Greek.
Oh, it's like 100%.
It's a Greek name.
I forget, because you were in the Greek parade. By the way, how'd that go?
Oh,
I know
gosh.
It was a couple months ago at this point now, but you were like
May
the star.
5th. Yeah, that's I was hosting it. Yeah, I was
the
MC.
This Greek community in Chicago, when
mess.
I covered Greek town for the grid, first of all, I have never eaten better. Every time I went into any restaurant in Greektown, they were like, gee, here's a platter of 50 lamb chops. It's like, it was like, I felt like the baby Jesus. I was like, what's happening? Incense and frankincense and myrrh and everything. It was unbelievable. Mm. Like the hospitality.
We love to feed people.
And they're so tight-knit community.
And never say no to food.
No. Yeah.
Never.
And ouzo. Everybody was giving me
Opa.
Ouzo.
Yeah. What's ouzo?
My gosh, I should know more about this, but it's a very hard liquor.
Oh, okay.
And you
like
add a little
99.9%.
It's clear. It's clear, and then you add a little bit of water to it, and then it turns kind of like cloudy. Like,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, cloudy hard liquor. That sounds good.
It's anise flavored.
Speaking of
licorice.
Oh, that sounds good. Speaking of the grid, anything cool coming up here this week or in the next week or so? As you stare.
I'm like, where was
distance?
I?
Yes.
I was in LaGrange, actually, at a cute little place called Blackberry Market.
Home of Wendy.
Oh.
Did you visit Wendy Snyder?
No, I did not.
Oh, you should have said hi to her.
I know, but this is adorable market cafe. So
great stuff. Gee, it is always a pleasure to host with you.
Oh my God, the pleasure's all mine. Thank you for having me, and thank you listeners for putting up with me.
Well, yeah, they do deserve a lot of thanks for that. We'll be back together again soon, I imagine. Viv, as always, a pleasure.
Pleasure is all mine.
Till next time.
Wow.
I'm on tomorrow night from 10 p.m. till 1 a.m. on your Tuesday night.
Look at you, the man of 104 jobs.
Hey, got to keep them all. Thank you so much for listening, John and G. G and John, and for Bill and Wendy on WGN Radio.